This is surreal. 4 years apart.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
I've never seen you in 4 years.
Yeah. We only connect for Made for Music interviews. It's the rules now.
Best time to do it.
Welcome to Made for Music, brought to you by Stitch Records. I am your host, Duncan Bayerjan. This podcast seeks to depict a comprehensive picture of the music world, from the artistry to the business, so you can discover the resources available to you, and most importantly, the stories behind the people making things happen. If you dig what you hear, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is, and sign up for our newsletter at madeformusicpodcast.com. As I mentioned, this podcast is brought to you by Stitch Records. Many of you may know Cross Stitch, aka Aaron Karstensen, the founder of Stitch Records. He has produced and mixed every single song I've released as DB Stewart, has a background in sound design from Berklee College of Music, and there's truly no one else I trust more in the world to deliver the best sounding mixes than him. The fastest way to get a hold of him is on Instagram under the handle @CrossStitchMusic, where he also has a lot of short form production and mixing tutorials, with a link tree in his bio to point to his long form courses as well. We have an incredible guest today, so without further ado, here's the next episode of Made for Music. Welcome to Made for Music. Today's friend of the podcast returns after nearly 4 years. At the time, he had just moved to Seattle from Michigan. Getting into music at just 5 years old, coupled with his formal music education, he quickly became an integral part of the Seattle scene. He's the rhythmic backbone for Monitor and podcast alumni Brian James, and has done session work for countless acts throughout the Seattle scene, and has his own private drum lesson practice as well. And while his drumming expertise may be what amassed his global online following, which led to sponsorships with the likes of Hendrix and Creative Percussion, he's an incredible songwriter and producer. And fortunately for us, he's officially stepping into the limelight with his debut EP, Prelude, arriving Friday, April 28th. So without further ado, please welcome a man whose musical talent knows no bounds, the drummer floating between emphatic prog rock shows to viral hip-hop covers, seamlessly blending house, prog, hip-hop, etc. Somatics, a.k.a. my good friend, Cyrus Erby.
That was incredible, man.
Had to be done. Honestly, it was tough to put together because there was so many things where I was like, okay, I could expound so much here, but it tried to do you justice.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah. We were just talking about this. 4 years have flown by and so much has changed, which it's kind of exciting to be able to reflect. And I guess before we dive into everything that you've got going on, when we first did the Made for Music interview, I think you'd been in Seattle like 6-7 months or something like that. And I listened back and it was crazy because we were talking about just starting to use DAWs for video production and all that. And now we're sitting here today and you've got a project coming out.
Yeah.
So I know the past couple years are probably a haze, but I'm curious as to how things have changed for you and what the biggest learning lessons on the recording side things have been. Because initially it was for video production and now it's full blown music production.
Sure. Not a lot necessarily changed. More so I just leaned in, particularly during the pandemic. That was like honestly good for my productivity and my learning. Fortunate for that, but yeah, just leaning into the drum recording, which that was obviously more acoustic and more doing the miking. And with the more of the production side of what I'm doing with this new project, fortunately or unfortunately, it's all MIDI, so gives me a little less or a little more flexibility. Rather, I don't have to worry so much about miking and that part of it.
Yeah. Okay. I was curious about that because we had talked about hybrid setups. Mm-hmm. So was this whole thing, if I'm hearing you correctly, was done on electronic?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, everything was, it was a combination of my electronic drum set. And then I've also got like when I made everything, it was just on my MIDI keyboard with my buttons. So I was finger drumming all of it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Nice. So that's how that all started. And then from there, I kind of took the final product and then applied it to more of a live rig.
Gotcha. Okay. That makes sense. So how did that start did you know, okay, I'm going to start a project now, or did this kind of organically develop over time just playing around with the setup at home?
No, I think I always had it in my mind that I wanted it to be a live rig, because that's something that I don't see a lot of in EDM. Not to say there's anything wrong with that, but that's, you know, my background is live performance, playing actual like instruments live. So I definitely wanted to incorporate that element.
For sure. When you were making the record, did that influence how you were producing things out of, okay, this is what I want it to be like as a live experience, or were you just focused on let's make the best possible song and worry about the live execution later?
Yeah, I'd say the latter. More so just wrote it and then on the back end figured out the live interpretation. But
how long has this project been in the works then?
I would say start of like August, September of last year. Nice. Would that be 2022? 8-ish months, probably. Is that about right?
Was it exciting to be able to step back and do something end-to-end on your own?
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I think I always wanted to have that full ownership of something. I enjoy working with all the musicians I work with. But of course, like with those interpersonal dynamics, you can disagree on strategy and things of that nature. And I think this was an opportunity for me to like sink or swim with just what I wanted to do.
Right.
So I wanted to do that. And that was part of the appeal for sure.
I resonate with that big time. That's ultimately how my solo project spun up too. Being able to ingrain yourself in all of that is really exciting. It's super cool too, because you have such a unique execution. What was so cool to me is how musical the percussion is, if that makes any sense.
Sure.
Yeah, and so it's interesting you mentioned that you're utilizing MIDI and whatnot. I guess, what was influencing you, or what inspired you sonically for this record? Because, like I mentioned in the intro, you've fingers in so many different projects across genres. So I'm curious how you kind of honed in.
Yeah, sure, for this project. Well, it's interesting because I like went into it intentionally not, like I did not want influence from the outside. Obviously, there was some because I've listened to music my whole life. So whatever is in my brain, you know, there's just ingrained influence from everything I've probably ever listened to ever. But I really wanted to be intentional about this is what my mind came up with. And I hoped that it would, you know, come up with a unique product on the back end. So, but I think probably the biggest influence, especially with like the melodic percussion and things like that, I would have to think that was just my time in school. With the percussion ensemble, stuff like that, because that's what that group was, you know, making things musical with fully percussion instruments.
You just mentioned that percussion ensemble was what influenced a lot of, yeah, what is it about that ensemble that kind of derived this?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a great question, because again, I feel like I wasn't necessarily thinking about that in the moment, you know, but processing it now, you know, I could definitely point to things. I mean, that group in general was all about dynamics. Again, you were talking about kind of taking those percussive elements and making them musical, right?
Right.
I mean, that was huge, huge focus of that group. And so I think, yeah, just playing things with touch, being aware of kind of where things are sitting in a mix from an ensemble standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
That was another huge focus, especially when you're working with, you know, drums, because they can be pretty aggressive.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that's the biggest thing, is the balances between the different instruments and yeah, just kind of how to incorporate some of those potentially more unique rhythms, I guess, into what you're doing.
Totally. Because that's one thing, what I love about Centered is it almost feels like a hook. It's, I'm not actually sure what it is. Is it like a block of sort, or what
is
that?
Yeah, there's a wood block sound in there for sure. And it is somewhat melodic. Like I pitched, so it's the same, I'm pretty sure it's just a stock Ableton wood block. And then I messed with it, right, to make it sound a little more authentic or whatever. And then I just copied it three times and pitch shifted it. So you had three different tonal areas. And I just used my ear to kind of hear where, like which pitches fit the best within that chordal structure.
That was what stood out to me. I was like, oh, there is this melody and it drives the song forward to where normally the chords serve the foundation of most songs, but you'd almost think like melodically that's where it's going to come from. And that's what was really interesting to me in Centered, is it feels like those woodblocks are at least what my ear kept being drawn to. Yeah. So was that intentional then?
I think it just kind of developed that way. I think with all the music, it just kind of all developed on its own. It was like a very organic process with all the tracks. So it was just kind of like had one idea for one voice, laid it down, and then it was just like what could fit over that, and then just kind of built it from there.
And so when you say that, were you starting with the percussive elements or do you have the progressions first?
It again varied from song to song. I would say more so or more often than not, it was started with the chords and then built from there. But Equinox, which second track that I'll be dropping or have dropped. That one starts out with percussion, like almost exclusively. So there's a little variance. And again, I think I just tried to lean into what came organically.
Delta's Two.
Yes.
And that one, when we were driving to the Kraken game, I believe you showed that to me. And what I love about that one is how rhythmically complex it was. In that you've got that main rhythm line where it starts off, it basically switches cadences. It's like the same arpeggio, if I'm
arpeggiator. Yeah.
But then it switches cadences and it's so cool because it just like pulls you all the way through the song. And that's something that for me, I was like, oh, that's got to be the drummer coming through there.
Hilariously enough, going back to the organic nature of kind of creating these songs, is that was totally accidental.
Really?
So I like went in trying to make an arpeggio, right, or an arpeggiated melody. And then, you know, in Ableton, I mean, one of the things I love about Ableton is just like the randomness of it. And you just sometimes stumble upon things. And you're like, oh, that's really cool.
Right.
And this was one of those moments. And I just, one dial, right, moved one dial on my arpeggiator and it switched the subdivision.
Oh.
And so then I was just playing with that and I just automated changes within it at certain points. And then, you know, kind of played with it from there to smooth it out. But that's how that came to be. And that's my favorite part of that.
Jumping back and forth between like halftime, basically.
Yeah, totally.
It was so cool. And just having a melody do that, I was not expecting. And the whole song, I was always just trying to track when the switch ups would happen.
That's cool.
I'm excited for folks to hear that because I think, yeah, it's just super unique. And then just the switch up just kept my ear the whole time. Mm-hmm. Sound like a broken record, but.
No, man, that's exactly what I was going for. So that's great to hear.
Oh, love it. Okay. And taking a half step back, the stage name, I'd love to hear, where did that come from? It's very cool.
It has a great story, honestly. So this is probably 2 months back-ish now. Uh-huh. And, you know, I was racking my brain for what I wanted to do. Just use my name. Do I want to, like, come up with a stage name? Lean toward the stage name. Route. And then just, you know, didn't come up with anything that quite clicked. And, you know, funny enough, went to church probably 3 or 4 days after I had started thinking through all this. And my pastor started talking about somatics in church, which is just the oddest thing.
Right.
And it just really felt like a moment where I got slapped in the face by God, the universe, you know, however you personally feel about that. But
right.
That's how it felt in that moment. Just the relation to frequency and like what somatics are, and obviously the CY fits in with my name. Switched out the S for the Z just because
it have to. Well, that was my whole thing, was the initials. Like, it's,
dude, it's just too perfect. It was too perfect. So I have to credit that moment, and it was a pretty powerful moment for me. I literally like, he started talking about it and I was just like, you know, the bell was dinging in my head like crazy.
Right.
So pretty cool.
In real time, did you go, oh, if I swap the S, I've got...
Oh, that took me a while. Oh, no, okay. So I came up with somatics, and I'm pretty sure I was like in the shower or something. Like after I came up with, had this epiphany, and I was in the shower, and then that was another epiphany. I was like, oh, switch out the S for nice. A Z. Oh, it'll work with my old logo. So yeah, just funny.
So cool too, especially with this whole project just being about going with the flow, and the fact that it just all fell into place like that, it feels very organic, and the music supports that too. So that's super exciting. You mentioned that was like 2 months ago, so this all came together pretty quickly then. I mean, obviously you've been working on the music itself, but as far as going from, okay, working through this EP to now I've got my name. Did you already know like what the releases were going to be and just need the name was the last piece, or was that?
I would say it was one of the last pieces.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. I mean, the way I kind of built it out was, I'm always writing my right. thoughts down, constantly. So I had a lot of it built out and structured. And then that was just kind of this weird loose end that just happens to be incredibly important to creating a brand. So,
right.
It did kind of come about towards the tail end, but yeah, it worked out.
It's always the hardest part. This gets released and you don't want to have to do another rebrand or names. Right. It's like, what I've also loved too is the aesthetic that you've been rolling out on social media to kind of accompany. It feels very... I keep using the word organic, but it very like nature driven, like makes me think back to years ago when you did the drum video on the beach and you posted the picture, I think it was yesterday or 2 days ago, with all like the forestry and whatnot.
Yeah.
Being in nature, does that have a lot of ties to this?
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, even Equinox, was directly based off of kind of what was happening in nature. Right. Cause that's like, when the sun sets earlier or later, right? And it kind of changes the season.
Totally.
So it all does, and somatics in and of itself is, having to do with frequencies causing mediums to create geographic shapes, right?
Right.
It's all definitely correlated in that way.
You mentioned the pandemic hits, kind of helps you like focus in and really refine your approach and whatnot. How did your relationship with nature, and then of course us being kind of like isolated from all these things and really getting the chance to work on your own tunes more or less outside of the other groups that you're in, how has your writing process, I guess, evolved as you got to really focus in and say, okay, here's what I'm doing and what I'm marching towards?
Well, it's interesting just because like I wasn't really writing music during the pandemic. I really only started doing that again around like September or November of 2022. So these songs on this EP, I think I wrote six and four of them are on the EP.
Okay.
So right on. There's not a lot of material that, you know, didn't make it. I just kind of wanted to, interestingly enough, I like continued to write and new tools came into my toolbox. And with that, there was some change in sound, not in a bad way,
right,
but just we'll call it an evolution. And it started to just feel like these four songs are one cohesive unit.
Right.
And so I should release them as a cohesive unit and then move on. So, and then as far as the writing, all the songs they're all based off of kind of what I was experiencing or feeling in the moment. So that's where a lot of the, I say like, I didn't want influence. I was trying to like be devoid of influence.
Right.
And I think in that came, just where my head was at in that moment, influencing the sound I was creating.
When you started creating the content around it, like I love the shot you did where it was there's like the glass behind you. Mm-hmm. You've got your whole like rig out and about. What kind of inspired that? Was that, hey, here's just where I've been at and let's just capture the here and now? Or was it also kind of a conscious effort to execute on, like really draw in color usage and whatnot and the more darker tones within your video work as well?
Yeah. No, I think it's a little bit of both. Like I planned that trip to that. So I shot it at a cabin essentially that I rented. And in finding that cabin, I was looking for a spot that had good nature around it. Mm-hmm. So at the time of us recording this, I haven't dropped. I've got two more videos that I'm going to release.
Nice.
So the one you saw, well, it was funny. We showed up and it was snowing, which I wasn't expecting, like heavily, like crazy, heaviest snow. They were like popcorn size flakes. It was nuts.
Oh, wow.
Huge snow.
Where was that at?
This is up in Darrington.
Okay.
So just east of Arlington, Washington.
I shot a video in Darrington.
Did you?
Too funny. Yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
It's a nice little area.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I rented that out and I kind of had, I guess we shot that in beginning of April or no, beginning of March, excuse me. And so it's still in between rain season here. So you don't know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. So I picked that cabin because the inside also had some good visual options. And sure enough, it rained and snowed both. And so the first one, I was like, okay, well, I got to shoot that. Like, this one has to get done this weekend, no matter what. So we cleared, my girlfriend Emma and I cleared this bed that was in that area where I was set up, cleared a bed out of there, and then set my whole rig up. That took like an hour, and then like shot the video, right? And then tore it all down, took it downstairs, reset it up, shot one that night. And then I wanted to get a third one. And my hope was to get all these outdoors.
Right.
And in the morning, it was like, definitely like, it might rain, it might not, sprinkle a little bit here, sprinkle a little bit there. And I was like, screw it, let's do it. And we just took my stuff outside, and it's all electronic, right? All electronic, laptop. I mean, you know, And it started to sprinkle, and I got the, so it'll be Delta is the one I shot out there. I got it in one take, and then we just, that was that.
That's the thing, the beauty of the Northwest, you've got the rain, but because of it, shooting anything between October and June. It's just terrifying if there's any sort of electronic element.
Sketchy, but you gotta risk it to get the biscuit.
Yeah. Well, it was stunning. So was that on like GoPros, or how did you?
Oh, just iPhones, iPhone 14s. Yeah.
Has the experience of putting the whole package together influenced your approach, like moving forward? Have you thought about, or are you kind of re-architecting your workflow as far as, you know, when you're writing and in the moment capturing visuals then as well, or do you prefer to get the music done and then after that start crafting the visual aesthetic?
That's a good question. I'll probably stick with that, kind of do the music then worry about the rest after the fact. But my guess also is that it will start to lean towards what you're saying, because this first project was me building out a lot. And now I've got my electronic rig built out, right? Like, that was a huge project in and of itself, figuring that all out, routing it all, making sure it worked properly, hours and hours and hours, right? Of work. So now that that's taken care of though, I don't have to worry about that anymore. So it's, it'll just kind of, lubricate the bearings, if you will.
Yeah. Especially in the electronic side of things, you've also got to be a network engineer in a lot of ways. So was that from doing a lot of live work and then, of course, recording sessions? Did you have a lot of that knowledge already and it was more about owning the process, or was it also a journey of figuring out how to build out those workflows and such as well?
I mean, again, a little bit of both. I started dabbling in Ableton probably around 2015, 2016. And that was, you know, I had no like, my college education didn't touch on that. So it was after school, kind of on my own. I had some buddies making beats in it. And so it was just hands-on learning. And so that was kind of how I got introduced. And then I was in a group called S2R back in Michigan. We may have talked about that in the first podcast. I can't remember, but in any event.
I believe so.
Yeah, we were all routing everything through Ableton. And then all of our Ableton projects were connected via the master Ableton. I was playing electronic drum set exclusively for some time with that group, and you know, I was doing a bunch of audio editing and routing like you're talking about in on my computer then. But then this obviously took it to kind of another level. But I think I had a pretty good foundation on that knowledge, and then it was just expanding on it a little bit.
Totally. Is there a resource that you found most valuable? Was it just trial and error? Do you have a person or blog that you default to when you're trying to figure this stuff out? Or
nothing in particular. I definitely use YouTube quite a bit, but I couldn't point to one channel per se.
I feel like every use case, it's all so nuanced and complex.
Yes, totally.
That it's just who happens to have addressed this exact situation.
Yeah, it's such a, I mean, just versatile program, so everybody's doing different things with it, I feel like, to some extent. But
and it's like, how much is in the box, out of the box? That becomes a whole other thing. Are you continuing to do everything within the Brain electronic kit in Ableton?
So not the Brain for my electronic drum set, but the drum set in Ableton, is that what you're saying? Like the drum rack in Ableton?
Or I guess
here's the nuance, that is the
question.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'll let you say your approach, but yeah, sure. That is my question.
Yeah, yeah. So I mean, everything's just routing into Ableton. So like the electronic drum set, for example, has its own brain that determines how hard I'm hitting the pad, which pad I'm hitting. And then that brain sends all that information to my computer / Ableton. And then that basically applies for every instrument that you see. Yeah. And then my launch pad, which is we'll call it my master controller. I'm just using that exclusively to arm and loop tracks.
It's so complex.
It's very
stuff
heady.
That stuff always makes my brain hurt. I know when we played Tim's and that it was months of setting up, especially when it becomes live and electronic mixed. It's
definitely
props to you because that stuff makes my brain fold.
There's a lot of error.
During this process, did you have any aha moments or new tools that you learned about or approaches that you're going to really look to carry forward?
Yeah, constantly. I mean, that's constant, I feel. It's just constantly accruing knowledge,
right,
and trying to apply it to everything, I guess, and just getting more well-rounded within the program.
You mentioned using stock Ableton stuff. Have you started doing libraries and samplings outside of that as well to kind of expand? Or
yeah, a little bit. So I've got a program or a plugin called Addictive Drums that has some nice samples. Those are on the EP in places. And then I did like buy a couple small packs just to start dabbling. And I think I couldn't tell you which one I bought, but you know, you just kind of listen to a little audio sample of the library and then you pull a trigger. So I'll probably upgrade some of my mixing plugins next. I think that's going to be a big focus, just because I'm using, again, stock Ableton EQs, stock Ableton reverbs for the most part. I've got a couple others, but yeah. And that also kind of plays into my thought process long term is like, I'd rather have something to grow into.
Mm-hmm.
So I intentionally kind of limited myself to what I knew just to get it going.
That's cool, because that also gives, well, the EP is just solid all the way through to begin with. So you've got a great launch point, but it's cool to, your audience will get to grow with, like see the growth as well as you get to experiment.
One thing I'm having to play with, especially with like Isotope, for example, is like with the live build, I have to be so cognizant of CPU usage.
Yeah.
Because essentially for those who are not Ableton nerds, if your computer like can only handle so much processing, and so at some point it starts to glitch out and then the sound gets garbled and sounds like garbage. So you gotta be so aware of that CPU usage. So yeah, I got the new computer, so hopefully that'll help. Yeah, but
I feel like as anyone starts growing their sound and experimenting more naturally, even if someone's doing a lot on the analog end, the more robust the build becomes, the more intense it is to capture and execute. And
definitely. And even going back to the cabin thing, right? When we recorded, I like came up with a list of every single thing that was in my rig and that I needed to make the thing happen.
Uh-huh.
And it was like 2 pages long. And if you're missing one of those things, it's not going to work.
Right.
So it's very high pressure.
The amount of money that goes into cables,
oh yeah,
becomes insane. So I guess like bringing this like full circle. So you've obviously talked about you brought this rig to the cabin, and you've done all this work to bring this project to fruition. Is live on the table? Is that something you're like looking into and thinking of taking it to the stage?
Yeah, I think in the future, I don't feel hard pressed to get that going too quickly. I mean, I don't have enough content to really fill out. It'd have to be like a DJ set where I'm playing other people's music and then, you know, a little bit of my music. So I'll probably hold off until I've got, I would think, at least 30 minutes of original music. So we'll see what next year brings.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting stuff. I have always loved the hybrid approach, like you've been talking about, of the live drums just bring such a different energy.
Yeah,
definitely. Electronic music. So,
well, and I do want to, even though to this point I've not done it, I do want to integrate acoustic drums instead of the electronic ones, but yeah, it's just an additional step. So it's on my checklist.
Yeah.
It's on my checklist.
Are you thinking that you would create literally a hybrid kit or record separately and bring them together, mix and match, or is that?
Yeah, it would be, well, my thought process is use the acoustic drums for live playing pretty much exclusively. It just keeps it cleaner, and samples are so good these days. Like, you can get some pretty good sounds. But you know, in a live setting, I think, I'd be relying on a sound guy, which, you know, that's fine, I suppose.
Another variable to account for.
Yeah. Letting go of control is hard.
I feel that.
But, yeah, I think it would add an additional element. So, but yeah, just, I would have my normal rig and then, just have the acoustic drums mic'd and have them balance in the house between the two is my current thought process.
That's going to be so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. Yep. When we first connected on the podcast, so in 2019, one thing I always ask everyone, and actually it was right around when we connected that I started asking folks this, was why do you make music? And you gave a really beautiful answer. It literally came down to, you said, I don't know what else I would do professionally that would actually make me happy. And I guess my question was, how has your relationship with music evolved since then? And how has this project played into that relationship? Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I mean, that's really interesting to hear back, because that is kind of where it still is foundationally. But I think at this point, especially with this project, I'm really trying to decide, and this like is getting more broad about like me, how I'm living my life and whatnot. But what I have to contribute to society in general, I suppose. And I do really want to leverage this project for greater good in general.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. I mean, it's still being built out and thought through, but, you know, I think there's just a lot of negativity. I think we can all agree. Plenty of positive though, that doesn't get spoken about enough, but a lot of negativity and a lot of things that I don't feel okay with, that I feel I can, hopefully leverage my skills to then help those issues. So,
right.
I mean, like specifically what comes to mind to me is mental health, homelessness. I mean, things we all talk about pretty decent amount these days. And I think it plays back into the Somatics brand to an extent. Cause it's like frequency causing these patterns, right? Or like how we perceive things, around us. And then I'd like for this Somatics project to kind of go the opposite direction and kind of give it back to the earth. So we'll see where that all goes. I know it's like very, very loose and broad at this point, but
no, that's beautiful. That actually went into you really answered my next question, which was what you were hoping for folks to get out of that.
Nice.
Because when, again, just rewinding, and I love being able to juxtapose things across time, because I think the beautiful thing about media in general is being able to pinpoint points in time and highlight the growth of individuals and just change in general, especially as it pertains to music. When we talked about this like 4 years ago, it was emotion, connecting an emotion. So my question was going to be then, in turn, you know, as your relationship to the project changed, how you saw what you hoped others get out of it. So that's really beautiful, because the through line is there. You've always just been a very compassionate person. And so getting to hear how the through line of music through, that's very cool and inspiring, and multi-hour long conversations we could have on top of that. And it's just really cool. And I want to give you your flowers there, because it is so cool. And that's just, I can feel how important that is to you.
Definitely.
The theme of this episode feels like it's been like change and growth and new beginnings. If you could rewind to your younger self hopping on the kit for the first time, what would you tell yourself?
Whoa. Practice more. Yeah, practice more. Simple, but that would have been it.
Yeah.
Probably would have been it.
Nice.
I think also just I wish earlier on I would have focused more on the business side, because it doesn't, especially in the music community, does not get talked about, does not get taught enough.
Yes.
And we're all just figuring it out as we go to some extent, right? Mm. But it wasn't, I wish I would have gotten a minor in business in college. You know, I think that would have been incredibly beneficial to me, would have accelerated everything I'm doing. But yeah, so I guess focus a little more on the business and practice more, you lazy SOB.
The business, especially, so convoluted, like more than most industries. The music business did not keep up with other, like the tech world or anything like that, which is why we're seeing so much change. Well, dude, it's been so good to reconnect. The most important thing, or one of the most important things, of course, is people knowing what to expect. Where can they find you? Where can they pick up this project? And how can they best support you?
Yeah, I mean, Somatics with a Z is searchable on all streaming platforms. My Instagram is always a good way or a good place to connect with me. Yeah, those are probably the main tickets right there.
Sweet. And that is Friday, April 28th.
That's correct.
That arrives. Yeah, thank you again so much for taking the time. I'm so excited for people to be able to hear this. Obviously, the first single is already out. When this drops, there'll only be about 3 days between. You'll be able to listen to the first single, Centered, before that drops. And then everyone else is in luck, because by the time you've heard this, you'll be able to pre-save the record, and it'll be in your ears within about 2.5 days.
Excited.
Hell yeah. Thanks so much,
Duncan.
Dude.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers. Shouts out to Somatics for being on Made for Music. Be sure to check out his upcoming EP, Prelude, wherever you get your tunes, April 28th. And if you dig what you hear on the podcast, brought to you by Stitch Records, the only place I trust to mix my tunes, please rate and subscribe to Made for Music on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your preferred podcast medium is. I truly appreciate the extra effort, and I'll see you next time.